Ahmed Rida. Guiding souls with wisdom's grace. Guiding souls with wisdom's grace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Life of the Grand Reviver And inshallah in this episode we will continue to hear about The blessed life of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat Maulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatu Rahman. Now, one of the titles of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma is Mujaddid Dino Millat, the reviver of the religion. And this particular title was bestowed upon him by the ulama of Arabia as well as other parts of the land, meaning many ulama from the subcontinent and other places as well. So the Arab ulama and non-Arab ulama both declared Ala Hazrat as the Mujaddid. Now first of all, let's get into this discussion. What is a Mujaddid? Where has this concept of a Mujaddid been taken from? What does it actually mean? First of all, in Sunan Abi Dawood Sharif, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى رَأْسِ كُلِّ مِئَةِ سَنَةِ مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا That indeed Allah will send for this ummah upon the head of every 100 years a person who will revive their religion for them. So it was the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He continuously sent Anbiya alayhi salam right from the beginning, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam till our final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one Nabi after another Nabi. And we know there are approximately 124,000. Anbiya alayhim as-salam, all of them invited towards Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, monotheism. They showed people the path to Jannah. They saved people from hellfire. And in the end, our Prophet alayhi as-salam is the last prophet. No prophet is to appear after him. So who will carry out this work then? Inviting towards Tawheed, inviting towards goodness. Now this responsibility has been transferred to the ulama, the knowledgeable scholars of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala states in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nasi ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. That, oh Muslims, you are the best ummah that was sent forth for mankind. And what are the reasons given for being the best ummah? Why are we the best ummah? Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. You invite or you command the goodness. You command what is right. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And you forbid evil. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ And you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this concept of inviting towards good, forbidding evil, has been mentioned numerous times in Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. Now we know, generally speaking, this responsibility of أَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ Inviting towards good and forbidding evil applies to everyone. Everyone is a muballigh in his own right. A father and mother at home, a father is a muballigh. Similarly, in various other settings, a person is a muballigh. He has to preach what is right, forbid evil. But there are so many masail which awamun nas, even if they try to, they would not be able to resolve or they would not be able to have the same effect as elite ulama. So those certain masail, certain aspects of the religion where the ulama, they have been given precedent and they have been tasked to ensure that this is conveyed, this knowledge is conveyed, the deen is revived, etc. So what are those things? What are those rulings? So for example, heresy started to prevail, ill beliefs, wrong doctrine and beliefs. When this happens, when bid'at become excessive in the society, wrongful innovations, then it is upon the ulama and in particular the mujaddidun, the revivers of the religion, to take responsibility and to revive the deen for people, to eliminate the heresy, all these wrong beliefs, and then once again present to people the refined, once again present to people the pristine teachings of Islam. They remove all evil and they present Islam to people in the manner it should be viewed as, it should be studied as, they present to people the right version of Islam. Now, the usul, the principle is that in every era, in every century, there is a different mujaddid. As we heard in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ كُلِّ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا. Allah Ta'ala sends a mujaddid at the head of each century, a person who revives the religion of people. Now, although the word used in the hadith is مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ, this word man is wahid, but it can also be used for plural as well. And because of this, ulama have said there could be more than one mujaddid's revivers in a particular era, in a particular time period. And they will remove all heresy, all unorthodoxy, and they will fulfill the needs of the people in terms of Islamic and religious needs. Now, from the mujaddidun, the first person who was declared by the ulama as a mujaddid was Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala. He was from Banu Umayyah, and he was a Khalifa. Now, the manner in which he carried out work, subhanAllah, it was exemplary. Many wrongful things had crept into Islamic society at that time, and he removed them from the roots. He presented the true version of Islam to people. It's also mentioned that the formation of hadith, of official hadith studying, the tadween of hadith, he also played a major part in that. So many of the leaders before him were unqualified, and ma'azallah, their sinful ways led to sin increasing in society. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz changed all of that, changed the whole picture, and his rulership became a rulership of peace, of serenity, and he carried out this revivalist work. So he spread justice everywhere. The second thing was the tadween of hadith, the formation of hadith, writing of hadith, documenting hadith. Although the Sahaba did write, but the majority of people, they would hear and memorize. And we know the Arabs at that time, they had very powerful memories, strong memories. They were able to memorize hundreds of ash'ar on the spot, you know, in a particular mafil. If poetry has been recited or anything, they would be able to memorize it right on the spot. So although it was proven from the Sahaba that they wrote, but the hadith compilation, this hadn't come into existence yet. When Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu saw that the Sahaba are passing away, so he sent a letter to his governor, and he said, gather the ulama in that location and begin to collect the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the foremost scholar in this regard was Imam Zuhri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And the hadith were collected. This is how Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz contributed and played a massive part in the formation of hadith into official books. So although Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz was considered the mujaddid of the first century, as we heard before, there could be more than one mujaddid in a time, that the ulama declare more than one person as a mujaddid in a particular era. And all of them have those sifat of a mujaddid. They remove bid'ah, innovations, heresy, wrong beliefs, and they fulfill the needs, religious needs of people, and present to them the pure teachings of Islam, which are in their original format. And because of this work of theirs, they are known as a mujaddid. Now, if you look at the second century, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has been declared as the mujaddid. As well as him, some even considered Imam Musa Kazim radiyallahu an to be a mujaddid. Likewise, Imam Muhammad, who is the student, one of the former students of Imam al-Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, some people have declared him as, some ulama have declared him as the mujaddid of the second century. Because the way in which he explained the fiqhi masail to people, formatted and collated fiqh rulings, subhanallah, this is work deserving of the title of mujaddid. As for the third century, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is considered that person who is the reviver, mujaddid. The fourth century, scholars have said Imam Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala is a mujaddid. And like this, it continued throughout the ages. We had mujaddidun in each era, each century. And as for the 14th century, Islamic century, who was considered the mujaddid? Subhanallah, none other than Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. Because he carried out such work in his era which made him deserving of that title. We heard in the previous episodes how he devoted himself to this task, answering the deviants, the heretics of his time, those people who blasphemed against Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. How he presented the true teaching of Islam to people, how he saved, by the will of Allah, the iman of millions and millions of Muslims. This was his tajdidi work, and because of which the ulama referred to him as a mujaddid. And one hadith, we are told that every coming year will be worse than the previous year. Meaning every coming year will have more shar, more evil than the previous year. And in the time of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahlul Sunnah radiallahu anh, in India, we know there was colonialist rule and many different sects began insulting Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, the Ahlul Bayt Ali Ridwan, ma'adallah, thumma ma'adallah, coming with all sorts of deviant beliefs. You had the naturalists, you had the atheists. So Islam was being attacked from different angles. But Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma at that time, subhanallah, single-handedly, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that region, answered all of those heretics. This was his tajdidi kaam. So Ala Hazrat looked at those readings, looked at those works that the deviants had written, and he realized straight away that this is blasphemy against Allah. This particular text, ibarah, is blasphemy against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is disrespect towards Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. When he saw all of this, he tried his utmost to make those people repent, but they were stubborn upon their ill belief. And that's when Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma one by one refuted all of them. His works were published, his works were presented to ulama of Haramain Sharifain. Many works were even written in Haramain Sharifain. And we know the famous Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah, which was presented to the governor of Mecca upon the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ilmul ghaib, knowledge of the unseen, and how he was accepted by the scholars in Haramain Sharifain. And this was a tajdidi work. This was a work that declared Allah Azza wa Jalla as a mujaddid of the time. And Mawlana Hasnain Reza Khan, who is the nephew of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he has a book which is called Sirate Imam Ahmad Reza Khan. And in this book he has written that Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma was born in 1272 Hijri and he passed away in 1340 Hijri. So he saw both eras, both centuries. And one sign of a mujaddid, that he will be present at the end of the previous century, and he will also be present and accepted amongst people in the new century as well. Now, Ala Hazrat's scholarly work was famous even in the previous century and most definitely in the new century as well. So the end of the 13th century and the beginning of the 14th. And in particular, at the beginning of the 14th century, Ala Hazrat's manner of work became more intense and he became more serious natured, even though he was serious natured before as well. So his nephew writes, Mawlana Muhammad Shah Khan, he was someone who lived in the same area as Ala Hazrat. He was 1 year older than Ala Hazrat and he would accompany Ala Hazrat. So their friendship was quite strong. And normally such friendships lead to informality when speaking, when conversing. But this particular individual, Mawlana Muhammad Shah Khan, he was very mindful of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma's status, because of which he would never become informal. And Ala Hazrat would respect him and be considerate of him as well, because he was a year older. Now, by profession, he was someone in agriculture, used to deal with land. One day, Mawlana Hasrain Reza Khan asked him, Ala Hazrat respects you greatly, but what is the reason for you reciprocating that? You don't ask him questions yourself, you send other people to ask questions on your behalf, etc. He said, me and Ala Hazrat grew up in youth together. In our childhood, we spent it together. Our gatherings were the same. We accompanied each other throughout our childhood. And after Maghrib, it was our habit to gather amongst our friends, and it was a majlis of ilm. We have a gathering wherein knowledge was discussed. We would discuss religious Islamic rulings, and we also discussed things of a humorous nature, which were permissible, meaning they didn't consist of any haram. So as soon as Muharram al-Haram of 1301 Hijri occurred, meaning we saw the moon of Muharram al-Haram 1301, then as per our noble habit, we gathered after Maghrib for this discussion-based gathering. And Ala Hazrat, against the norm, he arrived a bit late. He gave salam And after that, he said, today the moon of 1301 has been seen. And I said, yes, I confirmed it. I said, yes, it has. I've also seen it. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahman said, dear brother, the century has changed. Murana Sahib, Shah Muhammad Khan says, I said, yes, the century has changed. Then Allah Hazrat Ali Rahman said, then me and you will also have to now change. Allah Hazrat just said this when all of a sudden silence prevailed in that gathering. And nobody had the courage to say anything. And like this, one by one people dispersed, left that gathering. Morana Shah Muhammad Khan says, at that moment I didn't understand the reasoning behind why Allah Hazrat said that. That the century has changed, we must change ourselves, even though we were from the people of knowledge. It wasn't the case that we were involved in unlawful acts or anything of the sort. But here Allah Hazrat was informing of improving ourselves. We're always in need of improvement, bettering ourselves. And he says, I couldn't fathom why he said that. And all of a sudden, Allah Hazrat became serious in nature. The next day, when the Fajr prayer had been performed, and I met Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, I saw him, and I saw this complexion of awe, this complexion of a mujaddid, signs that he is a mujaddid. I could see his complexion change. I could see the jalal. I could see the robe in his face, subhanAllah. And this is what I believe he was referring to, that we must change now as well. That he, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the mujaddid of the time. And Mawlana Shah Muhammad Khan says, Allah has changed and became a mujaddid. This is his humbleness, but he says, we remain the same. Allahu Akbar. And he says, whenever, he says, after that, I couldn't ever muster the courage to visit him or see him face to face. Allahu Akbar. So this was the 14th century now. This was the start of his rise towards that level of being a mujaddid, subhanAllah. What are his tajdidi works? Why is he a mujaddid? Subhanallah, what are his khidmat, his services in terms of Quran and Hadith, fiqh? And we only have to look at his works, his study, his fatawa, radawiyya, other works as well. His service to Quran, his service to Hadith, his fiqhi masail, the innovations of the time, how he tackled them, how he refuted the heretics of his time. And then you will realize the service that he gave to Islam, subhanAllah. But these things require separate episodes. So inshallah, in the coming episodes, we will discuss the tajdidi works of Allah Hazrat, and in particular, Kanzul Iman Sharif, which he wrote, the most authentic Urdu translation of the Quran. Many ulama say, if this was the only work of Allah Hazrat, it would be sufficient to declare him a mujaddid of the time, subhanAllah. In that translation, Kanzul Iman, Allah Hazrat has used the most appropriate words in each maqam. Whether it's Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Awliya, he has used very careful wordings. And previous translations, ma'adhillah, they didn't have this principle in place. And if you read those versions, whereas the awam are not allowed anyway, but just for argument's sake, if you read those versions, you will find that they've transgressed the boundaries. They've, ma'adhillah, used inappropriate words to describe Allah or his Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the Awliya, or the Salihin. So this was the infradiyat, the uniqueness of Allah's translation, that it is in accordance to the teachings of Ahlus Sunnah, the teachings of adab and respect. Many ayat which were difficult to translate, Allah has showed the whole world how to translate those ayat without compromising your belief, without having to distort the meanings. Subhanallah. Inshallah, in the next episode we will hear about this splendid work, Kanzul Iman. And these are the works because of which he was declared a mujaddid, subhanAllah. Until then, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and enable us to act upon the teachings of the great Imam, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahma. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Imam Ahmad Rida, guiding souls with wisdom's grace, guiding souls with wisdom's grace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.